Okay, so my message, first of all, let's know that today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days after the ascension of Christ. And the disciples were gathered together and the Holy Ghost fell. Okay? So let's just acknowledge that. So today, my message is understanding the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Okay, so let us turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter, the 22nd to the 23rd verse. So we know there are nine fruits of the Spirit, correct? And I am going to read this. It says, so Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So there is no law against having these nine fruits. But I'm not going to talk about the nine fruits of the Spirit. I am going to talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to concentrate on three particular gifts of the Spirit. Okay? So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. And we're going to read from 1 to 11, but we won't read it straight through, but that's what we're going to concentrate. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, and it reads as such. My glasses on. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Understand, there are diversities of gifts, but it's just one Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom. These are the nine gifts. Wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay, we got those nine gifts, right? Those nine gifts can be broken into three categories, right? There's the revelation gifts, which are wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. You got that? This revelation gifts are wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirit. And then there's the power gifts. The power gifts are faith, healing, and working of miracles. Okay, we got that? Power gifts are faith, healing, and working of miracles. Then there's the utterance gifts, which are prophecy, diverse tongues or different tongues, and interpretation of tongues. This is what we're going to concentrate on, the utterance gifts, because it's Pentecost Sunday. Okay? So I'm going to address the three utterance gifts, and these gifts are gifts that say something. Prophecy, speaking in tongue, interpretation of tongue. So let's talk about the definition of prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. In other words, when somebody prophesies, right, it has to be understood by the hearers. So if I speak English, the prophecy needs to be in English because that is the known tongue to me. If I was French, it would be in French. If I was Spanish and you didn't speak any other tongue, then it would be in Spanish. Now, we know there's bilingual people out there, but when you're in a church setting, if a prophecy comes forth, it has to come forth in a tongue that the hearers understand. Otherwise, it's not prophecy. Okay? So prophecy is speaking in a known tongue. And the recipient or recipients have to understand what is being said. Okay? All right. So what is the definition of divers tongues or different tongues? These are tongues that is given, it's a supernatural utterance, but it is in an unknown tongue. It is supernatural and given by the Holy Spirit, but it is unknown to the person speaking it and is unknown to the person hearing it. Right? When I speak in tongues, you don't know what I'm saying, because speaking in tongues, I'm speaking to God. I'm not speaking to man. Okay? And we'll get deeper into that, but for now, let's go to the definition of interpretation of tongues, which is the supernatural utterance or showing forth of that which has been said in an unknown tongue. You understand what I'm saying? So there are three gifts. Although they are different and distinct in themselves, they merge together. If we can distinguish one from the other, then we have clarity, right? So prophecy is a word coming. It's a supernatural word from God being spoken to the church, and it's spoken in a known tongue to those hearing it. The gift of tongues is a gift given by the Holy Spirit, but it is in an unknown tongue, and it's spoken, and if it's not interpreted, well, let me back up. Speaking in an unknown tongue is a gift. I have the gift for tongues. I don't always know what I'm saying. Sometimes I do, but we'll get further into that. So the three are one. Speaking in an unknown tongue can become prophecy, right? If it's interpreted by the person that is speaking in the unknown tongue, or someone else in the presence that is hearing it can interpret it. And prophecy is a known tongue. The three are together and they're separate at the same time. Okay, I want everybody to understand that. Sometimes people get confused as to what is prophecy and what is not prophecy, right? Speaking in an unknown tongue, and in other words, I can prophesy, but the prophet, I'm not a prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? People confuse that. Just because I prophesy doesn't mean I'm a prophet. A prophet is a office held at the church. So you know you have let's go to that. Let's turn to I think it's Acts. No, let's turn to Corinthians 14. Right? Because I want you to understand that there are different offices held. You have preachers, you have teachers, you have prophets, you have evangelists, you have apostles, right? That's the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry are those things, right? Now, all these people that are, if you're a preacher, you're a teacher, you're a prophet, you're an evangelist, and you're an apostle, you could be prophetic in those offices, right? Or maybe not. But just being able to prophesy at a given time because the Spirit fell on you does not make you a prophet. It just makes you a person that was given an utterance, a prophecy to bring forth, right? I want us all to be on the same page with that because people get it wrong. So speaking in tongues is... Speaking in tongue, although it's a gift of the Spirit, it is not prophecy, right? If someone in a church setting or in worship service is filled with the Holy Spirit and gives a word in a known tongue wherein everyone present understands that, then it would be prophecy. But let me be clear, prophecy is meant for edification, exaltation, and comfort. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:3, which I said before. And the word reads, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exaltation and comfort to men." Right? If prophecy does not do this, then it is not a prophetic utterance of words. Because prophecy edifies, it exalts. It comfort. It does not condemn. It does not make someone feel bad. It doesn't bash people. If someone's giving you a word and they're saying, for instance, just to be clear, like I said, I grew up in the church. So someone could be in church, get up and they, you know, the Holy Spirit is fell and people are, you know, speaking in tongues or whatever. But it's done in decency and order because that's what God says. Everything has to be done in decency. But then they're given a prophetic word and they say somebody's going to die. But they're not telling you who's going to die. And that's not prophecy. Everyone dies. At some point, yes, I am going to die. Whether I die here on earth or I die in the second coming, everyone has to die. So that is not a prophecy. And 5 months later, someone dies and they go, see, remember when sister so-and-so prophesied that? That wasn't a prophecy. It's not prophetic. That's just a plain fact. People die. So that's not prophecy. So let us be clear that when you speak in unknown tongues, you are speaking to God. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." Do you understand that? If I'm speaking in tongues, I am not speaking to the church. I am speaking to God, unless it is the tongues are interpreted by me or someone else that is hearing it. Then it becomes a prophetic utterance that will edify, exalt, or bring comfort to the hearers, the church. Or gathered, whether it's in prayer service or whatever it is, but in a corporate setting of holiness. Okay? Now, if you're doing it in worship, me speaking in tongues, it may set off worship service and everybody starts to feel the spirit, but it's not prophecy. Do you understand? It's just me speaking to God, and he knows what I'm saying. Or the angels is taking the message of what the mysteries I am speaking is being sent to him, but it's not prophetic. It is just me speaking in tongues. And don't get me wrong, it's a gift to have. So I thank you for the gift, Lord. So let us understand that. Now, let's turn to Acts 2. We're going to read 5 through 8 because I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and falling and how it works. So let's turn to Acts 2. And we're going to read I'm going to read verse 1 to verse maybe 7 or 8. Okay? So do we all know what Pentecost is? So Pentecost is, in the Jewish language, its culture is called Shabbat. And it was the Feast of Weeks, for the wheat harvest has come to fruition. So what we call Pentecost, they were celebrating the Feast of Weeks, Shabbat, right? But they were all gathered in Jerusalem. So I just want you to understand that. So when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, or diverse tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, there was about 120 men in this upper room when the Holy Spirit fell and these diverse tongues came to into play. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember, I told you prophecy is the Spirit giving you utterance. Or speaking in tongue is the Spirit giving you utterance. Didn't make them prophets. It just means that they were uttering utterance that was given through the Holy Spirit and supernaturally, right? And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, this is verse 5, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Do you get that? This is 120 men speaking in tongues, yet the Jews from all over the world, from all nations and everything, heard them speaking in their language. But the men, the disciples that were speaking, didn't understand the language they were speaking, because they were Galileans. They spoke their language, but they were speaking other languages. Now, I don't know, but let's read a little bit further. So in 7, it says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these men who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Because they came from Mesopotamia, Judea, Asia, all over the world. But think of it this way. I don't know if they were speaking those particular languages, or if they were speaking in tongue and it was being interpreted by the hearers in the language in which they speak. Do you understand? This is the mysteries of heaven, of the Holy Spirit being present. Just imagine we're all in church and we're all, you know, speaking in tongues. As a speaker of tongues, I don't understand what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean the person that is going to interpret what I am saying obviously understands what I am saying in whatever tongue that I am speaking. That's what makes it prophetic. That's what makes it supernatural. Now, some people would say, oh, these people, it's just gibberish. But how could it have just been gibberish if so many people there was hearing what they were saying in their own language? It can't be gibberish, right? It has to be supernatural, something given by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, none of them from Asia, Mesopotamia, Judea, would have understood, and everybody would have just heard it as gibberish. But that wasn't the case. And remember, those that heard Like 3,000 souls was added to the church that day because of the Holy Ghost falling on Pentecost and them speaking in divers tongues. Do you understand? So let's be clear that there are tongues, but it's the hearer of the tongues is in where people are edified, if it's interpreted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like Paul said, he prayed that everyone should speak in tongues, but I pray more that you prophesy, or that you ask God to give you understanding of what it is you're saying, so that you could bring a word of edification, of exaltation, of comfort to the church. Nevertheless, you don't stop people from speaking in tongues, because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's okay to speak in tongues. Now, you got to do it in decency and order. So it says, you know, two or three can prophesy, right, and bring forth a word, right? But if a fourth person comes in and wants to start speaking in tongues and there's no edifying, it can't, because God doesn't deal in confusion. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if Sister Mary, Sister Jane, Sister Alice got up and was speaking in tongues, and then there was interpretation of it. If Sister Celeste wants to get up all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not in decency and in order, because the word clearly states this is how it's supposed to be done. So when it's gone beyond that, I'm not saying that they can't speak in tongues. I'm just saying that at this time, it is not permissible, because it's just causing confusion, which God is not confusing at all. He's very clear on how things should be done. So people have the tendency to say, oh, Sister Benin is speaking in tongues. Boy, she gave a prophetic word. I didn't give a prophetic word. I just spoke in tongues. I didn't give you a word that nobody interpreted what I said. So that's not a message. You can't say, oh, she spoke in tongues and we just got to figure out what it is she's trying to say. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God will give you a message. God won't give you a message that you can't understand. That's not a message. How is that a message if I got to go figure it out later? What? No, no, no. God doesn't work like that. You speak in tongues, somebody interprets it. That's a message. I speak in tongues, nobody interprets it. That's me speaking to God. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want people to understand this, because people don't understand what prophecy is. Prophecy is a word given in a known tongue that the hearers can receive. Do you understand? So it's either a prophetic utterance being given in a known tongue, or is someone speaking in tongue in an unknown tongue, right? Which is a gift, but there is an interpretation of that tongue either by the person that is speaking in the unknown tongue, or by an interpreter that is there in the presence of the person speaking in an unknown tongue that makes it a prophetic utterance. Get the three coming together, but yet they're separate at the same time. Okay? All of them are gifts. All of them work together, but they also work separately as well. Do you understand?
Can I bring a question to the platform?
Huh?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So my understanding is that when that happens, the church is supposed to try to come down in silence so that the word can come forth, right? Am I correct?
Well, when the Holy Ghost falls, if it's the Holy Ghost, if it's the Holy Spirit falling on the church and all that are present is going to know to be still.
Oh, should know. Right. Or
so
should
that
know.
The word Everybody can knows. Come forth. Because like I just said, God does things in decency and order. So order. If a word is coming forth and the drummer is over there beating his brains out and no one can hear the word coming forth, that's not God. So either Amen. The drummer is wrong, or the person prophesying is not prophesying.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? They just, you know, speaking a word because they want to speak a word. But remember, if you try the spirit by the spirit, if someone is prophesying to the church and it doesn't come to fruition, that ain't a prophecy. That was you just speaking a word because you want to speak a word. That's not, that doesn't make it prophecy. Do you understand? The church will know if it's prophecy. When the Holy Spirit falls on the church, and you've all been in service where the Holy Spirit has fallen, right? Everyone in the church, whether it's their first time being there or not, knows something is going on, right? Because Paul says, if you're speaking in tongues, you don't edify the church. You're just edifying yourself. If there's a stranger that comes in and hears you speaking in tongues and there is no interpretation of it, they're going to think you're crazy too because you're just... But if you're speaking in tongues and then it's being interpreted, the visitors that's never been in church before will feel and know that this is something supernatural happening. Do you understand? Because I want us to be clear, because that it's just someone having an individual conversation, speaking mysteries to God because it's unknown to the hearer speaking or what they are saying unless it is interpreted. Then that is a message. Do you understand? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 4. Okay. So, like I said, but he who prophesies speak edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies does what? Edifies the church, right? Some would say that speaking in tongues is the perfect will of God because it's the Holy Spirit that is giving you utterance, right? And it's the perfect will of God because you're speaking directly to him. But if no one else understands, then that's just me having a conversation with God, all right? The simple gift of prophecy or speaking in tongues or interpretations of tongues should not be confused with the prophetic office, as I said before, which you can find in Ephesians 4:11. Right?
Yes.
So it says, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? That, like I said before, I know I'm bouncing back and forth, but I'm trying to get it in. Like, those are offices that are giving, like God equips certain people. Just because I speak in tongues and can prophesy does not make me a prophet. I am not, people are born into the fivefold ministry. You either born to be an evangelist, you're born to be a preacher, you're born to be a teacher, you're born to be a prophet, you're born to be an apostle. Do you understand? Those are God-given offices. Yes, they're gifts, but not like the nine gifts that I spoke to you about. These are separate and well overarching these other gifts, because any of these people can possess the other nine gifts right here, right? But I don't want people to be confused just because I prophesy once in a while, or Lizette may prophesy, or Naomi may bring a prophetic utterance. That doesn't make us prophets, all right? And everyone that says they're a prophet, woe be unto them if they're lying, because don't say you're a prophet and you're not a prophet, because you will reap what you sow. Do you understand? You will reap what you sow. So let's not do that. Yes, because if you say you are a prophet and you're not, you're exalting yourself, right? We don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Yeah. You don't want to, you can't put yourself in the office that you weren't called to be in. Don't call me a preacher because I ain't a preacher. I am a teacher. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an apostle, and I'm not an evangelist, right? Now, there were evangelists, Cyrus was an evangelist. He was going around, all of the middle, certain areas in Greece and preaching the word and giving a prophetic word and bringing souls into the church. Those evangelists, that's what evangelists do. I'm not an evangelist. We're all to be called to be disciples, which we can give the word to people, but we're not calling to these, unless you're calling to the fivefold ministries, then you are a saint, granted. You are a disciple, granted. But you don't hold the office that wasn't given to you at birth. And usually, from what I know from being in church all my life, people that are in this fivefold ministry, that are preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles, a prophetic word was brought forward to place them in these offices. Isn't that amazing? To be part of these, it is a prophecy that comes forth that makes you one of these five offices in the church. Amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing what God can do, the decency and order in which his word is brought forth, or the functioning of the church is carried out by those in charge. Okay, so we could prophesy to ourselves. When you say I'm more than a conqueror, you prophesy to yourself because you're exalting yourself, right? You're bringing comfort to yourself. You're bringing a good word to yourself. So yeah, I could prophesy anytime. Anytime I'm praying and I'm saying, I'm more than a conqueror. I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I prophesy to myself. I'm bringing a good word to myself. That's good news to me, right? That's what we're doing.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Yeah. So prophecy can stand. Prophecy can stand alone because it's a known tongue, right? However, diverse tongues cannot stand alone because it needs what? Interpretation. Right? So, I want you to turn to, my message is winding up now. I want to turn to Ephesians 14:1. I think it's, no, I'm sorry, it's not Ephesians 14:1. It's wrong. It's there is no Ephesians 14. So you can't go to Ephesians 14:1. But you could go to 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Right? And in Ephesians 5, it says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, right? But even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification, right? And if we go further down to verse 39 and 40, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. So you don't want to stop somebody from speaking in tongues, right? You don't want to forbid them from speaking in tongues unless they're not doing it in decency and order. But let them do things decency and in order. So you don't want to stop people from speaking in tongues, especially if we're in prayer service. If you're praying in tongues, you are speaking to God, because that's who you're praying for and that's who you're praying to. So when words escape you, I speak in tongues when I'm praying. Sometimes I understand what I'm saying in tongues, like I'm talking to God, and sometimes I don't. Or maybe it's me speaking in tongues and in my head I'm praying what I think I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, I'm having a conversation with God, and I'm saying to God in my head what I want to say to him, but in my mouth is saying something in unknown tongues, right? But it's the spirit that falls on the person to speak in tongues. All right? Now, people can copy tongues, they say whatever, but is it really tongues, or are they mimicking somebody? Do you understand what I'm saying? But the church will feel the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when tongues come forth, and then the prophecy comes from the interpretation of those tongues for the edification of the church. And that is my message for today. I know it was short, but it is the gift of the gift of tongues is I don't even know how to explain it. Like, sometimes it's a gift, but the gift doesn't always come forward. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know I can speak in tongues, but it's not always necessary to speak in tongues. It's not always necessary, and the gifts will be held back from you if you're trying to use this gift out of place. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you know, but I'm telling you from experience. Like, it's like, oh, you can speak in tongues, yes, but I can't always speak in tongues just because I can speak in tongues.
Right,
Like,
it's
it's a
not
gift.
forced.
Exactly. I know when to use that gift, and if I'm attempting to use it and it's not being given to me by the Holy Spirit to use, then it doesn't go forth. Do you understand what I'm saying? So,
Yes, amen.
even if you're a prophet, if the Lord didn't tell you to, even though you know something that the Lord showed to you, but he didn't tell you to tell that person yet, you can't bring that word forward, even though you know it. It is not for you to bring it at this time. Just because you're aware of it and it's been shown to you as a prophet doesn't mean that's what you do when you feel like doing it. It has to be the Holy Spirit that is leading you to give the word. I don't want anybody could be confused in their gifts, because, like I said, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, but it is of the Spirit that the nine gifts are given. So it is of the Spirit for your use of the gifts that have been given to you. It is the Holy Spirit that leads me to speak in tongues, right? And when I'm speaking in tongues, it shouldn't be or doing any of these nine gifts. It should not be disruptive to the company at large. You get what I'm saying? If it's disrupted, then you're like, you should be going, I don't want nothing to do with this. It's like the lady that's prophesying saying somebody gonna die. Listen, lady, we know somebody's gonna die.
Amen.
People die. And that's not exalting or bringing comfort to anyone. You saying that. So how is that a prophecy? Run as fast as you can to the nearest exit when somebody's doing that, because it's wrong. It's wrong, and the Lord is not in it. The Holy Spirit is not in it. That's the person in themselves or the devil using them to bring dissension and confusion and whatever else you want to get from it. So yeah, that ain't God. That God does not work like that, right? He says, try the spirit by the spirit. Isn't that what he says? It's like, okay, this person is giving a word, but all 100 people here is such and such. Well, first of all, there's only five people here. So how you giving us a word for 100 people when there's only five people here? So you gotta, you have common, God gave a common sense. So you can distinguish. And if you're a follower of Christ, he says for you, listen, study to show that self approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing your needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what he's talking about. This is what he is talking about when he says this. This is my Bible. Read it. Get the understanding that you can from it, because it's only going to lead you in the right direction. It is, you want clarity. When you speak in tongues and you want interpretation of, you say to the Lord, give me clarity of what it is I am saying so I can bring a word forth. I remember when I first spoke in tongues at Promise Christian Ministry, when we were down the block from you in Farmingdale on what street you live on, Naomi? Berkshire Road, right? The Holy Ghost fell and I just started speaking in tongues. I didn't have no control over it. It was there, it was going, it was talking. I don't know what I was saying. But Pastor Ruth said, Vineet, just say what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying. And in my head, I'm going, I'm saying what the Holy Spirit is saying. But she was telling me to interpret what it is I was saying. She said, just open your mouth, it'll come out. And I just opened my mouth and it came out. But that was my first experience. Like, I always spoke in tongues, but I never, you know, interpreted the tongues that I was speaking. That was the first time that I interpreted what I was saying to her. It was a word to her. It was edification for her. But yeah, that was my first experience with speaking in tongues and then interpreting what it is that I was saying. So that is my lesson for today.
Amen.